Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial partners of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, wealth management, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's team of Chris Garrido and Trip Higginbottom can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast. Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with my boss, Mr. Scott Reynolds.
Hello.
With intern Matt.
Producer. What up?
Producer Matt. And the other guy, Taylor Jenkins.
All-around extraordinaire, Taylor Jenkins.
I didn't call him intern. You're just going to be intern Matt from now on. I mean, even though you're not an intern anymore. Both these guys have done a great job.
They're full-fledged Bucks B writers on our staff.
I take it as a very high insult. Okay. Not that's going to change your mind. Just saying.
We got a great show today. Lots of things to talk about, including a special guest. But first, Scott, we've got to talk about our wonderful title sponsor.
Yes, Westshore Financial. We talked about it last week on the podcast. They're the title sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast and the official financial partners at PewterReport.com. At Westshore Financial, they take the time to develop a relationship with their clients and understand what's important to them. Then and only then can Westshore Financial help clarify the financial world and engineer a balance sheet strong enough to potentially withstand the worst-case scenario your family might face, protecting families against catastrophes, and then focusing resources to achieve the best vision of clients' lives is what they're all about. I've known Chris and Tripp for a long time, and they've helped me in my finances with life insurance and retirement strategies even before they became a sponsor here of the Pewter Nation podcast. With Chris, it goes back dating decades from his time covering the Buccaneers as a sports anchor in the Tampa Bay area. And I've been a proud Westshore Financial client with Chris and Tripp here now going on several years. And so we're excited to have them on board. These guys are so caring and knowledgeable, taking the time to get to know my current financial status and then understand what my goals and dreams are for the future. I wouldn't trust my retirement planning and my family's financial future with anybody else other than Chris and Tripp at Westshore Financial. So give them a call today or send them an email and set up an appointment about and find out about the ways they can help protect your family today. You can give them a call at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation, preliminary conversation or email Chris at cgarrido, that's G-A-R-R-I-D-O, at westshorefinancial.com. And we got a special guest on the Pewter Nation podcast today. Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back Peyton Barber joins us. Peyton, thanks for coming.
All right. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Welcome back to the Buccaneers. You signed a one-year deal to come back. What was the decision to go with the one-year deal? Did you have any discussions with the team about doing a multi-year deal?
Yeah, there were definitely bigger deals out there as far as more years on the table. But, you know, I really wanted to make it to my, how would I say it?
Your free agency season? Yeah.
Free agency season. Yeah. So I feel like it was best to sign a one-year deal.
There's some strategy involved, right? Because you have to be able to, you know, to look at it and say if you're locked up for 4 years, how old are you?
24.
24, right. Okay, so then your next deal is 28.
Right.
And that market might be different depending on what's transpired and injuries or 1,000-yard seasons and all that. So you want to be able to hit that contract year at the right age after the right production, and that might be age 25 after a 12, 1,300-yard season in Tampa Bay, right? That's
correct.
That's what you're aiming for.
Yes, sir.
Makes a lot of sense. So let's talk, first of all, and I got to address this. This might be, you know, the worst question you're going to get today, but
that
Auburn basketball loss.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, are you over it now? Because
I mean, they made a heck of a run. It was a heck of a run with Bruce Pearl down there.
I mean, we all know.
Call that double dribble, right?
We all know who the real, you know,
championships
are.
Yeah, I'm with
exactly.
you. My son Auburn's a big. My son Logan's a big Auburn fan, and he was about ready to lose his mind when that, you know, when that happens. You know, it's rough to lose a game with three free throws like that.
Yeah.
in the last second.
I just feel like you can't call a foul like that in a critical moment.
Especially when you miss the double dribble.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. We're on the same page. All right, so let's talk about you switched agents right before you you signed your deal, and you went with VaynerMedia, mm-hmm. owned by Gary Vaynerchuk,
yeah.
The world-renowned author, wine enthusiast, the owner of Vayner Sports,
mm-hmm.
and I watch his videos all the time. How much interaction have you had with him? Did you know about him before you joined his sports agency?
I got a chance to meet him, I want to say about two to three weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I flew up to New York, and he showed me around his facilities and his office, and showed me how everything worked and operated. And I really felt like I was at home, and felt like I made the right decision by switching to Vayner Sports.
He's quite a character. Isn't
yeah, he is. He's a great guy. Great guy. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I didn't know anything about Gary. Mm-hmm. Before
you were friends with your agent, right? The agent
right.
within Vayner Sports,
right?
Had a connection with your mother, right?
Right, yes, sir. They went to college together, and what's crazy is I was flying down here to Tampa for rehab, and I never missed my flights, and I ended up
sounds like you missed a flight.
Yeah, I ended up missing my flight, and we were on the same flight together, and we kind of just saw me, and
this is Tommy, your new agent.
Tommy, yes, sir. Yeah. And we started chit chatting and asked me to sit down and have a meeting with him. And I had been looking around in the market, but I felt like once I sat down and had the meeting with him that it was a good decision to.
Did you ever watch any Gary's videos online?
Now I do. Yeah,
yeah, they're pretty cool. You guys seen Gary's videos?
I haven't.
Oh man,
admittedly,
he was.
Yeah. He was like right behind the where the announcer's table yeah. was. Where he's a big Jets fan. I don't mm-hmm. know if you yeah. knew that, but he was going wild, like hands shaking, body waving everywhere.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
he's a very passionate guy.
I get a chance to meet him at the combine.
Did you really?
In Indianapolis, yeah. I was a little intoxicated when I did. I'm not gonna lie. It was a bit of a fanboy moment. I think I posted a picture on Twitter, but I was
okay.
Like, a very cool guy. I mean, he was gracious with his time. I mean, he's as genuine as the day is long. He's awesome. I think you're in very good hands.
Yeah, for sure.
One of my good buddies. Sure. I'm from New York originally. My
really?
Friend. Yeah, the I don't accent? Bring that up enough. My friend works for in Gary's company.
Okay.
And he said he loves working for him. And he actually texted me. He's like, "Oh, Peyton Barber's in the building today." Yeah. I'm like, yeah. "Oh, that's awesome." So everyone loves Gary.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well,
no
everyone
doubt.
Loves Peyton, too, especially Bruce
Arians. Everyone loves Peyton.
How about that for a segue, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty smooth.
All right, A+.
So let's talk about Bruce. I mean, this offense seems really tailor-suited for your game. We know you can catch the ball. You want to do it more often. I think you will be doing it more often. He loves the power run game, and the play-action passing game has to work off of that run game, so a lot mm-hmm. on your shoulders. You're ready to take on this challenge, and just talk about the confidence that Bruce has in you.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's crazy, just hearing the praise that he's been giving me. But, I kind of have to tune that out and keep that same underdog mentality just because he likes what he sees on tape. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to like what he sees once we get out there. So
you got to make sure he does.
Exactly.
You got to make sure that
I have to make sure that
he loves you in November,
exactly.
even though he's liking you right now
exactly.
in April.
Yes, sir.
Very cool. So when you look at a lot of the tape from Arizona, the guy that jumps out is David Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really a three-down back that could run and catch the ball. How do your games, how are they alike and how are they a little bit different in terms of you and David Johnson?
I'd say our statures are a little bit different.
He's a little taller.
Yeah. I got a chance to see him at the Super Bowl, and he's a lot bigger than I thought. I thought he was. But he may be a little bit quicker than me. But otherwise, I feel as if we have pretty similar games.
Yeah, I think you're probably more of a power back than he is. And he can yeah. break some tackles now.
Yeah.
He can shake and bake and break some tackles. But you're like a bulldozer out there when it comes to just plowing through people. You know.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, where are you at weight rise right now? You look like you're at least 230.
Yeah, I'm about 230, 235. And I know once we get out there on the field and out here in this hot sun, a lot of that's going to start melting off with me also. So I'll probably be down to, once the season starts, about 225, 220.
That's a good weight for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you doing health-wise? Because we know that you had a bad ankle injury last year that you played through. Don't know how you did it. There were times where, you know, where we would watch you laying on the field grabbing that ankle.
Yeah.
And thinking, oh, well, Peyton's done for the day. And then like the next series or a couple plays
roll
later,
back out
right back in there,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I probably should have missed a couple of games, but I knew what was at stake, and I knew what it took to get here, and I knew that, you know, that moment could be taken away from me at any moment.
All right, so, you know, you're an NFL football player, you're a running back, you're also a human being. When your ankle is just throbbing and you're on the ground and trainers are coming out, and you know that you're going to be going back in a couple series because you're mm-hmm. going to will yourself to do that, what's rolling through your mind at that time? Is it your teammates? Is it your future and what's at stake financially? Is it your mom? What are the thoughts going through your mind as you're sitting there on the ground thinking, damn, this ankle again? You know, I got to get it taped up and I'm going to head back out there. But what's rolling through your mind to get you back out there on that next series?
It's everything that you just said. My teammates, my family, my future. I know what it took to get here.
Yeah.
And it took a lot to get to this point. Just remembering those hard times and where I came from, pretty much.
Yeah, it flashes, and then just gets you mm-hmm. the will to go right back out there.
No doubt.
Break some more tackles, get some more yards.
Yep.
You had a really good year last year. You're the kind of guy, though, with your build, Peyton. I don't think we've seen the best of Peyton Barber, which is really a fourth quarterback, right? And
right.
What I mean by that is if you look at some of these top running backs, they might have 75, 80 yards through the third quarter. Their team has the lead, and then all of a sudden that running back's getting 15 carries in the fourth quarter, winding up with a 120, maybe 150 yards rushing because they've stacked 40 to 60 yards in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. just running downhill, killing the clock, killing the other team's will. And Peyton, you look at these last couple games with the scores these last 2 years, you guys have been the ones trailing in the fourth quarter. We haven't been able to see you in that role.
Yeah. I feel like I was able to showcase that in the Giants game.
Yeah.
You know, even though we didn't come out with the the win, but, you know, not to sound cocky or anything like that, but guys don't want to see 225, 220, 230
yeah.
coming at them.
Over and over again.
And over and over and over again. So,
if the Bucs can get you to that point in the fourth quarter, I mean, everything changes.
Oh, yeah.
For you and for this team, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of getting more wins, in terms of getting more yards, in terms of getting a bigger contract next year,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Let's talk about some of the running backs in your stable. You know, Ronald Jones was drafted in the second round last year. And, I mean, I don't know if it was just bad luck, fate, I don't know what it was, but every single time that guy had a handoff, he was getting hit in the backfield, you know? And
yeah.
I mean, it was just crazy, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree with you on that. A lot of the stuff, not to put it on anybody else,
yeah.
was just really out of his control.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that happens to anybody, right? Like,
yeah.
the minute you get the ball, if there's a linebacker coming free, if there's a defensive tackle shooting a gap, it's over before it starts.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you speak to how tough that is, especially being a first-year guy, when you kind of feel like
yeah.
sometimes nothing ever goes your way and you just can't catch a break? How hard it is to stay mentally tuned in and mentally there when
if you're
you just feel like you
situation.
Can't get a break?
Well, it's just imagining if I was Rojo, and you know me and Rojo are very close. That's like I consider him to be like my little brother.
Yeah,
in a way. But you know, just coming in and having all these high expectations. Everybody has all these high expectations for you, and you know you're not playing as much as you want to play. Mm-hmm. And then when you do get in, something is always going wrong.
Yeah.
And then also there's a huge learning curve at the end of the day. A lot of people don't really understand. You know, you're coming from college into the pros, where the playbook is 10 times bigger.
Right.
Everything is so much more complex. So,
and when you're when you're a guy coming in with second round draft pick status, oh, too, yeah. The spotlight's on you a little bit more.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, you know, whether you're a first round or second round or undrafted free agent, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, the cream is going to rise to the top, and you know, and the 53 man roster will be what it will be.
Mm-hmm.
You came in without that spotlight and had to carve yourself a role in this team and work as a special teams guy and as a situational back to becoming a lead back. Rojo comes in as a second-round draft pick. Everyone's expecting him to light it up. He's got the high Madden score already mm-hmm. out of the gate. You know, before he's taken his first snap, he's the guy that's going to be the lead back or splitting time with you. That's mm-hmm. a lot for him to kind of take on.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. Most definitely. I think it's pretty much what I just said. You know, it's a lot of pressure. And it's not so much that he couldn't handle the pressure. It was just – a lot of it was just bad bad luck.
Yeah.
Bad timing.
What do you think is going to be the difference for him this year going forward in terms of year two? He gets a fresh start with this offense and with all new coaches. So it's almost like he's getting redrafted by this team, although he's just been through it a year now, you know?
Yeah. Well, everybody's starting from the same position. We're all learning the playbook together, and he has a grasp on the NFL and how the NFL works.
Yeah.
So, I think he's going to do just fine. I think he's going to prove a lot of people wrong this upcoming season.
What do you think of Todd McNair? All right, I'm from Kansas City originally, so I was a Chiefs fan. I watched him. Played with the Chiefs with Christian Okoye, and I think Bruce Arians was on the staff in Kansas City as the running backs coach.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on McNair? He's got a track record of being in the league. He was Reggie Bush's coach at USC.
Coach T-Mac. He's a great coach. Great coach. I love what I see so far from him and how he's able to teach me. And, you know, we learn the same. So – he's shown me different ways that he learns and little small niches to learn something.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel as if I have the perfect coach.
That's awesome. When it comes to this offense, how would you describe what Bruce is going to do and how that might be a little different in some respects? I think one of the things we've already kind of hit on PewterReport.com is Chris Godwin going into the slot and playing that Larry Fitzgerald type role of that bigger slot receiver, because he's a good running run blocker in terms of being a guy that will stick his nose in there and do that mm-hmm. that dirty work. And now to have that guy in the slot, you know, peeling back and getting some linebackers, maybe, you know, going out and getting a strong safety, cleaning some alleyways for you.
Mm-hmm.
What other wrinkles can we expect that's going to be maybe different under Bruce than what we've seen the last couple of years?
I'm still learning the offense, but I do know that we're going to be a lot more disciplined mm-hmm. just by the tone that Coach Arians has set, just in the meetings and stuff like that.
A lot more accountability.
A lot more accountability.
Yeah, he's a nonsense kind of guy.
Oh yeah, yeah, no doubt. Not that Coach Coder wasn't. You can just tell that there's a new, how would I say, a aroma in there.
Yeah,
with Coach Aaron.
It's a new sheriff in town.
Oh yeah,
no doubt about it. Have you noticed anything different with the strength and conditioning program?
Big difference. Big difference.
In what way?
I kind of feel as if I'm almost back in college lifting, which isn't bad.
Yeah,
it's actually extremely good. I feel. I struggled with a couple of things in my shoulders and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and to this point right now, just being here, going on almost 2 weeks, I feel a lot, mm-hmm. what I say, a lot better.
Right? Is it more power based? Is it more flexibility based? How would you describe the difference?
It's all around. Flexibility, power.
You got a speed coach now, right?
Yeah. And a Olympic,
yeah, right.
Speed coach at that. So,
have you been able to like get any faster? Do you feel, because a lot of it is body weight, muscle mass, and movement, right? Those are the three elements to increasing your speed.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of times once you get to the NFL level, you kind of are what you are, right, in terms of that finished product. But, I mean, do you feel even quicker? Because it looked to me like even last year you were able to gain more quickness because you bulked up in terms of your muscle, but you also leaned down. Do you feel quicker or faster this year so far?
I feel as if at the time right now I'm about the same as last year, but that's a good thing in a way. I feel as if I'm kind of at a plateau, and I'm kind of starting to come out of that plateau and begin to, how would I say it?
Like take off?
Take off in a way, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, you got a couple of former Auburn War Eagles that are rolling through one Buccaneer place on some visits. Jamel Dean, that fast cornerback.
Oh, yeah.
He came through here with an official top 30 visit. Byron Coward, who you played with back when he was at Auburn, he finished up at Maryland. I think he was going to be in here for the local visit because he's an Armwood high school prospect. What would it be like to have some more War Eagles down here, right? More Tigers.
Yeah, it's been kind of lonely down here the past couple of years.
You got Carlton last year, yeah. Carlton Davis.
Yeah, so it's nice to see some familiar faces coming into the locker room and stuff like that.
Yep.
You've actually had a speed coach the whole time you've been here. You just never asked me for any advice, Peyton. I mean, if you look at me, you can see that clearly I'm a speed guy.
Right, he runs his mouth really fast.
Yeah, really fast. Yeah, I can do that for sure.
Yeah. Andre Ellington is a new guy that knows this offense, right? Mm-hmm. So you got Todd McNair as your coach. Is it safe to say that Andre Ellington's almost like your second coach because he's already been in Bruce's offense?
Well, the funny thing is Coach T-Mac calls him coach.
Does he?
Because Coach T-Mac is still learning the offense.
That's
as
right,
well.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, Arians and McNair coached together in Cleveland, but McNair was not on the Arizona staff. So he's kind of missed out on the
– Things have changed over time.
Things have changed a little bit, right? So now Andre Ellington catching everybody up in the room, right?
Correct. Where there's things that I don't know, he's – So far, he's been a great teammate to me, helping me out, helping me understand just different things and different concepts. So,
Jameis came out and said that no more rebuilding; it's time to win and time to win now, right? And you guys have been here through 2017, Hard Knocks. Everybody kind of picked you to be the team. We did too. Ended up being 5-11, and then people thought, well, all right, it was supposed to happen in 2017. It's going to happen in 2018. Injuries happen, Jameis' suspension, 5-11 again. I know the fans are frustrated. I think even the media at this point is a little frustrated in terms of that. I know you guys are, right? You guys are just dying to have that breakout playoff caliber season.
Yeah.
You feel it's coming.
I definitely feel as if it's coming. I feel as if it's better to be humble about it and, you know, just let it happen.
Yeah.
Whether than speaking on it.
Yeah.
So
you excited to play in London this year?
Oh yeah, I'm excited.
That's
I'm excited.
Cool.
Yeah. It'll be quite the time change and a couple of things that we're gonna have to adjust to, but
yeah.
I'm excited.
You like tea and crumpets?
No clue what
that
is.
I don't know what a crumpet is either. No idea. I like sweet tea.
Okay.
But yeah,
I don't think they have. It's not like Florida, Georgia, Alabama, North Carolina sweet tea. I think it's like Earl Grey tea over there, right?
Yeah, that's not good.
Okay.
It's different.
Hopefully,
kind of
it's
tea.
Not the dieter's tea that makes you, you know. Anyway,
no.
Peyton, I did have a question. You were talking. Scott asked you a little bit about expectations. What's it like though, having a coach who's not afraid to just come out and say, "We're going to win"? I mean, I was in Arizona at the owners' meeting at the breakfast and. He said, we're going to win, and we're going to win now. I mean, enough riding the fence, jumping the pool. That's got to give you guys a little bit of juice internally inside that locker room, too. Knowing, and I'm not saying that Dirk didn't give you guys confidence or expect you guys to win, but Bruce isn't afraid to put it out there to everybody, the media and everybody. So what does that feel like for you guys inside the locker room internally?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely gives us players confidence that our coach is confident. Not saying that Coach Cutter wasn't. But him just voicing that out there means that, you know, he has a great sense of what's the word I'm looking for? A great sense of
confidence in you
confidence
guys.
Confidence in mm-hmm. us.
And you know so. What? In himself and
correct.
His coaching staff.
Correct.
I think that a lot of people have asked me, you know, this team, you know, hasn't changed a ton personnel-wise. I mean, you lose a few, you gain a few, but the core guys are still here. Mm-hmm. Why are they going to be better than they were 5-11? Why are they going to be better this year than that? And my whole thing is I really think the coaching staff itself and the scheme. But Bruce said, I mean, 15 of his 22 coaches are guys he's worked with. He doesn't have to coach coaches, in other words.
Exactly.
He can just – you guys are going to, yeah. you know, start, you know, from the ground running. And that should help you guys right out of the gate, right?
Yeah, most definitely. The talent is already here. It's been here.
He said that recently in a thing the Buccaneers put up.
Yeah.
This is – you know, we have as much talent as anybody in the league. You agree with that?
I definitely agree with that, if not more yeah. than most teams. So –
do you still dislike Jameis Winston for winning the national championship in 2013? I mean, have you gotten over that yet? Where are you at? Are you guys even talking at this point?
Yeah, I don't even want to comment on that, to be honest.
Well, you were just a freshman at the time. True
yeah,
freshman, right,
true
that
freshman.
Year?
Yeah.
But you were part of that team that beat Alabama on that miracle.
Pick six.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was there. I dressed out and everything. I didn't play.
Right.
But, I was a part of it. It's cool to be a part of history. As far as that, so
and one thing I got to ask, because everyone is, you know, SEC, but you know, I'm coming from a standpoint, when the team beats my team, Florida State, I want them to lose every game after that. Did yeah. you cheer for Alabama in any of these national championships, or is your hatred for Alabama so strong that you can't even cheer for them against a Clemson last year? Or are you an SEC homer? I mean, what is it? These are the hard edge questions you weren't expecting.
I'm not gonna lie, I definitely rooted against Alabama.
Good.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, I was afraid you were going to say
Amen.
The opposite. Very
Amen.
Good.
All right, so
go ahead.
And just to kind of touch on this, right? So, you know, you've got a guy that you know, he's going to block for you sometimes, and you have to rely on this Crimson Tide tight end, O.J. Howard, on occasion to help pave the way for you to get some yards. But O.J. Howard, just a likable guy, right? Like, you have to put that Crimson Tide thing in the past. I mean, he's a hell of a dude, right? The times I've interacted with him, he's a great player. He's a great person. The only thing wrong with him is he went to Alabama, right?
Oh, I have amnesia when it comes to that. So I didn't really know that he went to Alabama.
Okay, well, forget I said that. We're going to go have like a Men in Black moment. You just, just wipe your memory
before
clean.
Every game. Just
he is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer tight end who can run, catch, and block for you. Peyton Barber, thanks so much for joining us on the Pewter Nation podcast today.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
You know, that was great, Scott. Peyton's a good dude, even though he played at Auburn.
What do you mean, even though he played at Auburn?
Well, I mean,
you don't have any Auburn beef.
That's true.
If anything, you should like him. Because the national championship.
Right.
Well, I mean, he didn't lose it for him. James
well,
won
the,
it.
The school
he gave you
itself.
The evil eye when you mentioned that, too.
Yeah, he did. He did. But then I flexed and he calmed down. Notice that?
No, like, I missed that.
I flexed. Like,
I thought you were having some kind of a seizure or spasm.
No, I jiggled my pecs and he's like, ooh, I better calm down.
Emphasis on the word jiggle.
Okay, I bounced him up, and either way, it's going to sound bad. All right, okay. So what I want to know, though, and I meant to ask him, and we missed a perfect opportunity, you know, with this new money, has he bought a boat yet?
That would have been the question to ask Peyton.
And if he has a boat, he has to have at least one piece of equipment.
And there's only one place to go for any equipment with your boat or your trailer or whatever your marine needs.
Right. Where would that be, Matt?
That would be T.A. Mahoney's.
T.A. Mahoney's, of course. The largest selection of what, Scott?
Flare guns.
In Central Florida. I don't know if that's true. I have no idea. I do know you can get a flare gun, though. I actually stopped by and visited with Mike again this week. Notice my new hat that I'm wearing, guys? New Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Ooh. All of their Costa apparel and hats, 40% off right now.
Wow.
So this $22 hat only cost me $14 with tax.
That's a steal.
Yeah, it was. Nice hat. But go check them out. Listen, even if you're not a big boater, you don't fish a lot, but you like the outdoor look,
Go check out their full line of apparel, from fishing shirts to hats. And they do have the sunglasses. They're an authorized dealer. Costa Del Mar has been around since 1983. And they put out some of the best fishing sunglasses on the market. And anyway, they can handle all of your boating needs. Anything in the marine world, they can handle. They don't sell dolphins or anything. So I shouldn't say anything in the marine world.
True.
But they can probably tell you where you could find some dolphins out on the water in your boat that you had serviced
right.
by T.A. Mahoney. Since 1948, at the corner of Adamo and Highway, well, it is Highway 60, 50th Street and Adamo. Since 1948, they've been in business for a long time, and they're only in business. Businesses only last that long, Scott, if they do what?
If they do it right.
And sell flare guns.
And sell flare guns.
Yeah, you can't stay in business if you don't sell flare guns. T.A. Mahoney's, check them out online, tamahoney.com. Well, there is a brand new 12-round mock draft.
It's not 12 rounds.
I keep forgetting it's not 1977 when there was 12 rounds. Remember that?
Brad God, Johnson, wasn't he like a 12th-round pick or something?
Like a 14th
round. 14th round?
I don't know, man. I do remember as a kid, though, following the draft semi. And unlike now where we have video casts and Twitter and things like that, I think I had to just read the Tampa Tribune the next day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was 12 rounds when I was a kid. I think there was even more before that.
There was, yeah.
But you've got a new brand-new 7-round mock draft out, Scott, that has and a familiar face is back at the top spot. Do we want to give that away, or do we want to make people go read it?
I think pretty much everybody knows is Devin White. He's going to be the number 5 pick in the draft.
Scott's not only is Scott just saying that's who he had in the mock draft, he's just saying that's going to be the guy.
He's doubling down.
I think so. Unless Quinnen Williams is there, then it really boils down to a decision. I think.
What if Nick Bosa's there?
He's not going to be, but
what
yes,
if he, is?
He would be probably the pick.
Man,
what if Derwin James is there?
Derwin James won't be there.
You sure?
I'm positive.
We'll see.
Derwin James is last year's first round pick of the Chargers.
I've completely
much to your chagrin.
Our guy, PP Boy, whatever his name was last week, that really hammered me, is really mad right now because I've done nothing but jokes since I've been on this podcast.
And interrupt.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Devin White back at number one on the Pewter Report mock draft. Scott, very confident he's going to be the guy. Now, Scott, in your mock, you talked about maybe people think it's not much of a need with Levante David, and you mentioned Kevin Minter. But really, Deion Buchanan is kind of that wild card, right? I mean, that's who Jason and Bruce both mentioned when they talked about the linebacking core in Arizona. They didn't really mention Kevin Minter a lot. And
right.
why do you think why do you think Kevin could potentially be that guy that's going to be lining up on opening day?
Well, I think Kevin Minter is going to be the inside linebacker when the Bucs are expecting the running game to come at him. I think that he's a bigger guy, obviously around 240, 250, and more stout, better against the run, where Deion Buchanan, with his strong safety background coming out of Washington State, he played safety, for the first year at Arizona. Then they kind of had that hybrid role, that money backer role, that makes him a linebacker, but also a guy that can match up one-on-one with tight ends, slot receivers, and gives them really another big defensive back on the field.
So he can play safety, linebacker, and even a slot corner role?
Well, he won't be playing the slot corner, but, I mean, he'll be defending the slot corner.
Right.
I mean, he'll be defending the slot receiver.
Right.
So I guess you could say somewhat of a nickel back in that instance. But
not the band.
Not the band.
Thank God.
You're going to say that. But you're going to break into, look at this photograph!
No, I will never break into a Nickelback song.
Okay. But, yeah, I think that, keep in mind, he's on a one-year deal, and so is Minter, right? So you're looking for a guy that's going to be the long-term player next to Levante David. And, you know, Levante, great player, phenomenal Buccaneer, but he's 29 this year.
You say long-term player. Is he going to be a long-term player?
Who?
Levante.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I mean, they want
he's got one more year after this year on his deal, right? He's got 2
correct.
Years
left. Correct. He's got 2 years left. So the next year, 2020, will be his contract year. Then he's 30 years old. And then what does that look like? I remember Rondae Barber. Remember when Rondae hit 30, Dominic kept giving him a one-year deal every year. And that was smart in the
For
team's
14
part.
Years, he had a one-year deal.
It was that long.
It seemed like it.
It seemed like it, yeah.
Even moved him to safety.
Yeah.
One year he sold
back.
Popcorn in the stands.
Yeah, I'd have to go back. I think Rondae had, 3 one-year deals to end his career. Maybe 4. But they just kept doing it every year. Yeah.
She'd probably have a microphone if you're going to talk there, man.
Yeah.
Taylor's
now
just holding it on the side over there.
Right.
He's just talking.
You know, you're going to
We're waiting for your irrelevant reference this week too. Think about it.
It kind of reminded me of like the old Eddie Murphy. Was it Eddie Murphy Raw, where he's like, "I got some ice cream. You got no ice cream," right? Because these are mics. Anyways, I digress. Listen, I've written a lot this week between the mock draft and these Bucks best bets. There's no Fab Five coming on Friday.
Let everyone know.
Yeah.
What?
Get the Kiss concert tomorrow night, man. This is Wednesday. We're taping this, so Thursday night, in between the Lightning winning two games in Amalie, there will be the hottest band in the world, Kiss, on April 11th, Thursday night.
Man, if only the Lightning playoff schedule would have messed that up and canceled it like Garth Brooks, you would have cried.
Did you notice that they worked around the Kiss concert?
That was just
Lightning tonight
luck.
At Amalie.
They were praying they could cancel
Kiss
on concert.
Thursday, and then Lightning back
the administration
at Amalie on Friday.
Amalie were like, please let this playoffs be on the day we can cancel Kiss.
Gene Simmons would not let it happen.
Does he come out on a motorized scooter or just straight up wheelchair these days?
I think the stage comes down. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
Videos at the Garden. They come.
Oh, thanks
from
for ruining all the surprise.
Way to
appreciate
go.
That.
Oh, sorry, you're on social media all the time.
Not really. Just Twitter. All right. So the mock draft, Devin White is your guy, and you're going to die on that hill with him. But there were some interesting picks later on, Scott.
We've had Devin White since January 18th. I went back and looked. So.
It was during the Senior Bowl week, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, actually, during East West Shrine Week.
Yeah, that's right. It was the first mock.
Yeah, it was either going to be him or Josh Allen. And I talked to a bunch of scouts from different NFL teams and decided Devin White was going to be the guy, and then we had him in the second mock. And then just to mix it up, just to say, okay, what if one of the big three, and we said Josh Allen would slide down, and that may happen. Maybe Josh Allen's there. Maybe Quinnen Williams is there. I think Nick Bosa is high enough on the draft boards on teams like the 49ers and maybe even the Raiders that he's probably going to be gone by five. But there might be a decision, but I'll tell you what, if those three players, Bosa, Williams, and Allen, are gone, and Kyler Murray's the number one pick, then I would be very surprised if it wasn't Devin White at five.
And what may help the Devin White pro crowd is, and I've heard this lately in the last few days, Scott, first of all, everyone was assuming, myself included, that there's going to be a run on quarterbacks early. There's going to be teams trying to trade up. Now they're kind of hearing some rumblings of teams are going to kind of sit back because – they're really not sold. I mean, there's not a Jameis
clear-cut number one
guy or a Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf kind of debate.
Right.
Murray probably overall number one to Arizona, but that's not guaranteed.
Even Patrick Mahomes was, number 10? Kansas City traded up?
Something
number
like
10?
That, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there may be a run where Allen's gone, Bosa's gone, Quinnen Williams is gone. And so, there is that. And there's not a trade partner looking for a quarterback at that point. And so so Devin White absolutely could be the number five pick. But I hear a lot of people say, is there value at number five for an inside linebacker? Why why would you say that would be the case?
Let me ask you this. If you could redraft the draft where Patrick Willis was taken.
How long ago was that, though?
I don't remember.
There hasn't been that many inside linebackers.
There hasn't been, no. But that's why I'm bringing Patrick Willis, because he's a rare guy. He's a rare dude. So would you say in whatever year Patrick Willis came out that he should have been a top five pick, knowing now what we know about Patrick Willis?
Yeah, what you talking about, Willis?
Yeah.
Definitely would take him.
How about Ray Lewis?
Yeah, that's another guy.
Would Ray Lewis be a guy that looking back now after his Hall of Fame career, that you would say, like he's definitely warrants a top five pick.
Absolutely.
Well, the scouting report on Devin White is that he is of that caliber. And Ed Ogeron, who was his coach at LSU, actually coached Pat Willis.
Love coach,
Go Tigers. Go Tigers.
He coached Patrick Willis at Ole Miss. He coached Ray Lewis at Miami. So this is a guy who has...
Coach O's been everywhere.
He's been everywhere.
If you track where he's gone, all over the country.
Yeah, I mean, even at USC, right? So
yeah,
I mean,
he was there for a while.
So he's coached both of those guys and in college. And if he's saying that Devin White is of that caliber, then yeah, I think that's the argument right there. And it's not just the fact that you're getting a playmaking linebacker that would fit this scheme exceptionally well. It's also getting speed on the defense. And if you look at the mock draft that we have, we're not going to give away all the names. You have to check it out on PeterReport.com. If you look at some of these Bucks best bets and the previews that we're doing, the common denominator, especially on the defensive side of the ball, speed. that's one thing that Bruce Arians talked about at the scouting combine is they want more speed. In this division, you got Christian McCaffrey, you got Alvin Kamara, you got Michael Thomas.
I mean, how many times last
Calvin Ridley?
How many times last year did the Bucs get burned on like a double reverse or a fake reverse by the Panthers and they got 60 yards downfield?
One time.
It seemed like a lot.
It seemed like a lot.
Just one time.
They got burned a lot by the Panthers in that Carolina.
I mean,
game. Not by like specifically
McCaffrey's still
a double
running
reverse.
Free right now. They didn't tackle him at
but,
all.
You know, they do gadget stuff.
Yeah. Without a doubt. And
well, Bruce talked about that in that little clip that we mentioned to Peyton. We're going to be smart, we're going to be accountable, and we're going to be fast. Those are the three things that he mentioned. And, you know, there you go. He's mentioning speed again. And this is the right draft if you're looking for speed. Yeah. I mean, there were numbers at the combine that you just were just unbelievable.
Yeah, Montez Sweat, 4.41 for a defensive end.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you know, I remember when Gaines
imagine
Adams,
if he had a good heart.
Well, I know it was
these athletes
speaking
are just
of parts.
Freaky these days. Like huge, like 250, 260-pound guys running sub-4.5s. It's getting weird.
Gaines Adams was really fast coming out. That's why he was the 7th overall pick in whenever that was, 2004.
Rip Gaines.
Yeah, RIP.
Yeah.
RIP Gaines. But, I mean, some of these times are nuts. I mean, Ed Oliver's time for a defensive tackle was crazy.
Yeah, even guys like Quinnen Williams and Ed Oliver just throwing
Quinnen
down.
Quinnen Williams, what, 4.83?
Like a 4.83, yeah.
So, to me, you get a linebacker who's 240 and built solid. I mean, you've seen the physique on this guy. 4.42, that's what you're looking for. Then throw on top as the coup de grace, you're looking at the leadership capability that he brings, and you got to remember, two of the guys that were longtime captains and leaders at the locker room, Quan Alexander gone, and Gerald McCoy might be gone.
And DeSean Jackson, he was a leader.
No, he was not
at all
a leader. No,
not at all. Nope. My mistake.
Nope. And so, I think that he really is the total package. I think that Devin White would be a hell of a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and a player too that you want to come in and have Lavonte David take under his wing and learn, and he could be an instant impact player. And then maybe the next year you re-sign Minter for depth, you know, purposes only, rather than having to roll him out there and start. Maybe Dan Buchanan, you know, plays elsewhere, you don't need him, or maybe he comes back. But I think Devin White is your three down linebacker, first and second and third down. He can cover, he can blitz, he can chase the runs. He's a hell of a player, man.
This is off topic of what we're talking about now, but I'm looking at this team salary cap wise, Scott. If Jameis does have a good year and they sign him to a, you know, $25 million a year type deal, is this team where is this, when is this team going to be able to get back to where they have excess cap money? Because a lot of these guys they brought in on 1 year deals. What if they all perform really well? You know, you got Perriman at $4 million. You got Buchanan at $4 million. You got the safety Kentrell at you know, a couple million.
Yeah,
I mean, all these guys are projected as to be contributing starters to this football team, all on 1 year deals. Now there is an advantage to that, Scott. If you lose them,
you get those compensatory draft picks.
You get those, those comp picks. I couldn't say the word compensatory.
You just
I made you say it first.
Yeah, and that's what's nice about this system. And I know the NFLPA, they're freaking out now, right, because they're griping because the so-called middle class of NFL players, right, that you got the upper class, the guys that are getting the ridiculous money, the C.J. Mosleys, the Trent Browns, the Trey Flowers are getting just ridiculous money. They're cashing in, and NFLPA is going, you know, thumbs up, that's awesome. And now the veterans are happy that there's been this rookie salary cap in place for draft picks going back to right after the Sam Bradford contract. But the middle class, and this is what the NFLPA is freaking out about now, is you know, players like Trey Boston, for example, the safety. You know, he's thinking, well, I had a great year. Where's my money? Well, you know, there's only so many teams that need a safety, right? And this draft, there's some safeties in there as well. And he's trying to get paid long-term, like one of these long-term deals. If you miss out on Tier 1 money, there really hasn't been Tier 2 money anymore.
No, you're sitting around till about training camp hoping to get signed before, I mean, with time to come in and get used to a system.
Yeah, or you're getting a little antsy and you're like, hey, like, all right, I'll take that 1 year deal now before some team drafts a safety. and fills that need elsewhere, like I'll fill in. And so you're seeing teams like the Buccaneers have a bunch of one-year contracts. And I think that's great. I mean, screw the NFLPA in this instance, in my opinion. If the player was worth a multi-year deal, the market would have delivered that. There would have been a team that says, you're worthy of that. And so for players like Trey Boston, he can say what he wants. The numbers can say what they want. At the end of the day, the market will determine your worth. And guys like Breshad Perriman, like Kentrell Bryce, like Deion Buchanan, they got one-year deals. You know, Shaq Barrett's another one, one-year deal. And if they're worth it, then ball out, get double-digit sacks, get five picks, whatever it is, and you'll eventually cash in the next year. And now, to your point, the question is, well, what if all these guys blow up? Well, first of all, that means the Buccaneers are probably in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If all these guys are really
perform up to expectations,
lighting up the stat sheet,
right.
Yeah. And so then that's a great problem to have. And so what if Carl Nassib in his contract year gets eight sacks, and what if Shaq Vera gets seven? Both those guys splitting time at the strong side linebacker spot. Okay, well, you got to make a decision. Which one are you gonna pay if you're Jason Light and Mike Greenberg?
Unless John Lynch comes along and offers them both, you know, $15 million,
and then you let them go.
Yeah.
You draft their replacement.
Or you find another 1 year guy,
and you have two third round compensatory picks.
Yeah,
you know, so that's kind of the game plan. If you want more on what we're talking about here, read last week's Fab Five. There's not going to be a new one this week.
No
we already
new
talked
one.
About it. So read last week's. I kind of break down the 2020 salary cap, where the Bucks stand, which players are making what. It's a pretty good outlay, I think, that's going to gear you up, not just for the needs this year, but also the needs this team's going to have in 2020.
And, you know, something else we've been working on are these draft previews, which we started on Tuesday, and those will be going up for the next 12 days, 10 days if you're listening now, because we've already had 2 days of these. And we spent a lot of time breaking down the top 15 guys at each position. But the thing that's always exciting and fun for us on draft weekend is how many of these best bets we can get. And what Scott does is an early round and a late round guy. And Scott's had pretty good success over the years with that. Not pretty good compared to everybody else. It's not even close. Let's talk about quarterbacks. I did that preview to start it off with on Tuesday. And you picked a couple quarterbacks just, you know, to kind of tell people so what they can kind of look forward to if they haven't read that or if they want to continue reading the series. Talk about those best bets and the two guys that you selected.
Yeah, it's always tough, right, because the Bucks might not even consider drafting a quarterback in the first day. But you never really know. When Chris Sims fell down to the third round, they weren't going to really draft a quarterback that year. But and John Gruden didn't even want him because he's a left-handed quarterback. But Rich McKay couldn't help himself. And that made for, like, great draft
theater.
Where
did Sims play college football at? I forgot.
Texas.
That's
Longhorn,
right.
Yeah. And he and Major Applewhite split time.
Yeah.
And so Chris Sims got drafted in, what was it, 2004, 2005? Can't remember now. It's been a while. But he was one of those guys that was rated higher, and a couple of quarterbacks went ahead of him. And then teams just – that were picking next, they all had quarterbacks. There wasn't a need. So he fell to the third round, and Rich McKay's like, hey, that's really good value. We had him rated as a second-round pick. So they gave Gruden that quarterback. Gruden didn't even want him, didn't even scout him or anything.
And
so
Gruden had his spleen removed in the middle of a game. Remember that?
Well, he didn't like order up the surgery. I think the Carolina Panthers kind of helped Chris out on that one.
I don't know that he minded that much, though.
Well, I'm not going to go that far, but I just remember – John Gruden going on ESPN live talking about Chris Sims getting drafted, and he had this really extremely pissed off look on his face, like, what the hell did you stick me with, McKay?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was, you know, that would have been, you're talking about GIFs and or GIFs, whatever they're called on Twitter. I mean, that interview alone would have been one, just because
somebody find
look
that
on
and put
his
that
face.
Up there.
Oh yeah, that was great.
And a little known fact: Chris M's spleen is actually still on display across the street at St. Joseph's Hospital in the lobby.
Is it really?
Yep, they have it in a jar of formaldehyde and a picture of him.
Now,
and
do you get
they actually autographed
picks
it.
Is that autographed by Dr. Diaco too?
Yes.
Because do you get compensatory picks for losing organs?
No.
So spleen isn't like a fourth round pick in the following draft.
Bucks did get a seventh round compensatory pick when Alvin Harper lost the tip of his finger. when
JoJo Patron
cut it off.
Yeah,
wasn't he just cutting tape off and was like, yes. "Yeah, I'll just take the end of this finger off." He's yes. only a receiver.
Yes,
yeah, this franchise. You people that have just joined the last few years,
you have no idea.
No idea.
No idea.
No idea.
By the way, this whole building was infected with MRSA before. You know.
Guess who drafted Bo Jackson?
Yeah, exactly.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah,
I'm not playing for you, Hook Overhouse.
Guess who never
That's
played
right.
it down for
draft
the Tampa
you anyway.
Bay Buccaneers?
Yeah,
I'll talk him into it.
So
offered him a cool, crisp $1 million.
Ooh,
ooh, which was 1985, 86, a lot of money, but anyway.
Well, we've got Will Grier, former Gator, played it the last 2 years at West Virginia.
Mr. GNC.
Yeah. He would be the Bucs' best bet if they were to draft a quarterback in the third round.
That's a guy that, you know, when I was doing that preview, was kind of, you know, dropped off. Poor Senior Bowl performance.
Yes.
You know, really some questions raised, particularly about his size and his arm strength.
Really kind of a system quarterback.
And that's true, although there wasn't much of a system when he played at the University of Florida. He played pretty well. The guy, though, he's got a touch of that Baker Mayfield, right? That cockiness, mm-hmm. I can make every throw kind of deal.
Yeah.
Just without the talent
right.
of Baker Mayfield. He's had some talent. But
yeah, he's got the ability to lead. He's a really good leader.
Yep.
Did a great job. He really kind of came to West Virginia. It really elevated that team,
sure.
got him into bowl games. And so I think... In reading Bruce Arians' book, The Quarterback Whisperer, leadership.
Are you done with it yet?
I finished it, yeah, a long time ago. Great book.
There for a while. Like, you're reading it when we were in Mobile, and, like,
yes.
you showed it to me, and you're like, I'm
working.
Starting this book.
Yes.
And, like, when we left 3 days
February.
Later, you were only, like, page 9, I remember.
No, I was working the whole time.
And, oh, yeah, okay.
Drinking local craft beer.
You're just a slow reader.
No, I finished it. It's a great book.
You probably were reading a Kiss biography that was taking up your time.
No, I was listening to Paul Stanley's autobiography.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, it was good.
Hmm.
Good read. Good listen. But with Bruce Arians, though, he likes leaders. He wants a guy that can command the room. And so that's that.
So you're saying he would not have drafted Marcus Mariota?
No, I don't think
no,
so.
No, definitely not his type.
Yeah. Yeah, thankfully. I've never been a Mariota fan. Sorry.
No.
Never have been. And then for the second day, which would be for the later rounds, rounds fourth and fifth, you know, you look at a guy like Tyree Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Byron Leftwich interviewed him at the combine. I don't know that he had a formal or informal interview with the, you know, with the whole Bucs brass there.
He met with him at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, he met with him in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
And he had a really good Senior Bowl. His stock's
yeah.
kind of on the rise. But the biggest thing about him is he looks the part. He is the big
6'7",
strong-armed, deep ball thrower, very good deep ball accuracy. The problem is the intermediate and underneath routes.
And that was the thing you saw in that Senior Bowl game where he was actually voted the South's or the North's, I don't remember which it was, but the offensive MVP. I think he completed around 50% of his passes, but for like 177 yards
yeah.
just in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, he can sling the ball and he can throw it deep and he can make plays, but yet you try and swing a ball to a running back out of the backfield and
right.
he's liable to knock their helmet off.
Yeah, and that has to be, that's an easy throw. You got to make
yeah.
that throw. And I think that when you did the quarterbacks, you aptly pointed out. I mean, his problem has been, I think he's got a 55% completion percentage
yeah.
in his career, and that's not going to cut it in the NFL.
No.
What was crazy was at the Senior Bowl, when you see him in the huddle, he's looking down on his offensive linemen.
Yes.
It was crazy. He steps in there, and he's like bending over, looking
yeah.
down on 6'5" offensive tackles.
Yeah, I mean,
six, he's huge.
He is bigger than Josh Freeman in terms of stature.
Oh,
Josh
yeah.
Freeman's a big quarterback.
Was.
Well, was, yes. True. R.A.P. Josh.
Rip.
When you're looking at running backs, Taylor, you did the running back preview. Good job with that.
I appreciate that.
And,
okay.
And the Bucs' best bets there, Darrell Henderson and Tony Pollard, both Memphis running backs. I like both of them. I am glad the Buccaneers like both of them, too. And they were both getting formal interviews at the Combine, which tells a lot. And we have, you know, I'll let the cat out of the bag. We have Tony Pollard in the Bucs' best bet. He's also in the mock draft
mm-hmm.
as a sixth-round pick. And the thing with Pollard is the Bucs' return game has been so awful, especially the kick return game, over the last couple years. And this is a guy that had 7 kick returns for touchdowns at Memphis and I think tied or set the all-time record there.
Bucs have not had that in 43 years of football.
True. Well, I mean, they've had a kickoff return,
mm-hmm.
right? Spurlock.
I think they've had 2.
Yeah.
Somebody else had 1, Clifton Smith or somebody.
Yeah, Clifton Smith had 1. in Kansas City. I
this think. Franchise yeah. is baffling at times. Some yeah. of the things that we pull out that you just look at it and you go, how?
Yeah.
You've been around since 76.
Right.
How just on the off chance that someone screws up a
how about this?
Something.
This is not breaking news. Everyone pretty much knows this. It's still astounding. Every single quarterback this team has drafted has not been re-signed. They've right. not seen a second contract.
Yep. Unbelievable. Honestly, it's a little
This is the same franchise that racked up over 500 yards against the Redskins last year and scored 3 points. I'm still sure. just mind that just blows my mind. I believe that was a game. In fact, it is a game in which O.J. Howard didn't have a catch. How in 516? I can't. My head's going to
Well, that was
a game
Dirk Cutter took his play calling back, right?
Yeah.
That's from right.
Munkin? Good job, Dirk.
Yeah.
How'd that pan out?
That was weird because it was like a Pewter Report or one of Trevor's tweets where it was like Dirk Cutter announced that he took back play calling duties and 500 yards offense, 3 points. The guy was like, weird flex, but okay. Yeah. It's like, he came immediately out and was like, yeah, I took it back. And everybody yeah. just kind of.
That would be the game where you don't want to, like, admit that, right?
Good news is I was able to pick up a nice Buccaneer polo with Dirk Cutter's name in the back at the local Goodwill a couple days after he got fired.
That was you?
That was a great story, by the
that
way.
That was awesome.
I should have written a story about it. No, I should have. I know now when coaches get fired, I'm going to go to the local Goodwill.
That's true, yeah.
And apparently Dirk went, if you haven't heard, which I'm sure you have, but Dirk went and dumped all of his Buccaneer memorabilia and gear.
I think he kept a couple things, those mementos.
Like what?
Like a different shirt or pullover.
I doubt whatever. He did. Was he going to wear it, you know, at practice in Atlanta?
No, just like around the house, you know, out in the garage.
Yeah,
doing some yard
maybe
work,
if he's like
know.
Picking up dog poop.
It's
I'm
like
sure he's not
rag.
Real happy with the Buccaneers right now.
Well, I don't know. They're still paying him this year, so
yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
He's going to be happy for at least one more year. Let's put it that way.
A lot of money for Pocatello, Idaho.
Yeah.
Or wherever he
or
was.
Or wait,
from.
He's got two more years left in the deal, right?
Oh, Lord. Well, we don't know if it was a 4 year with a.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
probably
it's
a 4 year
probably
with a 1 year
option.
Option.
Yeah. Exactly.
Anyway, all right, I'll tell you who has great deals, guys. And they just opened up a brand new location in Kissimmee, located next to the Margaritaville
Resort.
No, I'm going to ask somebody else, Scott. You answer all the questions. I'm going to ask someone else this question. Who and where is the great place, Taylor? I'm going to ask you. Have you been paying attention?
I haven't paid attention.
For the last 3 years to the Pewter Nation podcast, even though we've been doing it too. Where is the greatest place to go get a burger? And just recently opened up a new location in Kissimmee.
Is it Chevy's Carport?
Oh, boy. No. Knew better. Go ahead, Reynolds.
I'm going to give Matt a shot. Matt, can you salvage this?
Yeah, to get this joke over with. It's Ford's Garage.
Excellent. Well played.
Mr. Pleasant. Yeah, thanks a lot, Matt. Yeah, Ford's Garage located all over Central Florida, up in Dearborn, all the way down to Estero in Florida, which is in Fort Myers. Now expanded out near the Big Mouse in Orlando. Literally located next to the Margaritaville Resort over in Kissimmee. And you can check out Ford's Garage. Great specials, great food, great beer, great craft beers like Scott likes. No flare guns allowed, just to let you know. But wonderful burgers, wonderful salmon. Had it again the other night. I tell you what, I'm growing gills, guys. I've eaten so much salmon lately. But it's really a healthy, very healthy fish. It's a cold water fish.
You need
loaded
it too,
with
buddy.
Omega-3 oils and essential fatty acids. It's really
mercury
healthy.
Poisoning.
All no, that. These are farm raised.
Don't say that. No, don't
probably,
say that.
You'll
give them a complex.
Yeah. No, I don't have any mercury poisoning. Although I used
you're
to
you're like
eat,
a walking ailment. You need as much.
I used
as you
to
can open. Get.
I used to break thermometers when I was a kid, so I could play with the mercury. Though.
Oh my god!
No wonder.
Oh my god!
There's something wrong with you?
It's cool because it kind of like crawls when you push it. You know, it's really neat.
Yeah,
it's
an element,
intact.
Right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. Highly. Deadly, apparently, from what
that
I understand.
Says a lot. Now I get it. Okay.
Yeah, I never eat paint chips, but I played with mercury.
All right.
That's new motto, Ford's Garage. But check them out, fordsgarageusa.com. You can check out all the menus, all the locations. Make sure you let them know the Pewter Report sent you and thank them for sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast. We appreciate all they do in helping us. And make sure to tweet out those pictures. They certainly enjoy seeing all of that, too.
All right. So we had a great show today with Peyton Barber.
Peyton. That's the way Jennifer Lopez would say it.
True. Jason Light will be not on the podcast, but we'll be getting Jason Light in front of the media at the podium next Tuesday.
He will be on a podcast.
Yeah, we'll get him on the podcast.
And guess who else I confirmed?
Who?
I haven't got the date yet, but I have got a confirmation.
From?
Mr. His initials are B.A.
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 B.A. Baracus comes to mind.
Damn it. You got it. Mr. T is going to be on the podcast soon.
Sweet. 18.
Yes. George Peppard was going to be on, but he's dead.
Yeah, how about Dirk Benedict?
No.
He's known as Face.
No, I think he's literally went crazy. I think he's in an insane asylum somewhere in Malibu.
Okay, all right.
But no, I've been in contact, and we will have Coach Arians on.
Oh, you mean after Bruce
the
Arians?
Draft. Yes, Bruce Arians will be on after the draft, okay. Working on the date of that. Excellent. Scott and I actually asked him to be on the podcast a few weeks ago when we saw him at an event. He said he'd be happy to.
Yeah,
I recorded that, so he can't back out.
That's right.
Like legally JPP binding. Did for What's Cooking. Sorry. Let that slip. I'm still a little bitter about that.
Yeah.
Literally 5 minutes before we're ready to shoot, we've got a set up in here. I did all my research on the Dominican Republic or Haiti or wherever he's from, and he's like, nah, I don't feel like it. Like, no, it doesn't work that way, JPP.
Oh, it worked that way for JPP.
And then I was like, you know what? Yeah, I guess it works okay for him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, you can officially say you were sacked by JPP.
Literally,
joined the ranks of other quarterbacks around the league.
Yes, I did.
JPP sacked me.
Well.
So, Jason Light next week, and then we'll have, as Mark mentioned, all of these Pewter Report position previews and Bucks Best Bets we'll be rolling out all next week.
And a brand new Fab Five on Friday.
There will be a new Fab Five, not this Friday, but next Friday.
We'll tell you what, maybe we could do a review of the Kiss concert.
I can do that.
Because no one wants to hear about it.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. If you did a Kiss concert review and put it on PewterReport.com, I guarantee you it would be the least read story in the history of PewterReport.com.
That's not true. Rick Zoyce, I know, would read it.
Okay,
he's
that's
an
one.
Avid Kiss fan.
You would read it twice. You would make your kids read it, so there's
they would
more.
Read it voluntarily
because
so I'm taking
four.
Them to the concert.
Poor kids.
Yeah.
Somebody called Child
My mom
Protective
would read
Services.
It. My mom hates
well,
Kiss.
Your mom reads everything.
She reads everything, exactly. Yeah. So there's I'm up to five now.
By the way, if you need a good Facebook friend, Scott's mom is the greatest. She never misses a birthday. She likes all my statuses. I love your mom.
Thanks. I love her, too.
Yeah, she's a good woman.
But
shout out to Judy.
I will say this. If you like Kiss.
No one does.
If you do, and I think there's at least a couple people out there that do.
It's not the 70s, but go ahead.
So I want you just to tweet Pewter Nation Podcast, Kiss, like pound Kiss, pound Pewter Nation Podcast. Let us hear the Kiss Army.
Oh, all seven of
Twitter.
You out there.
Well, I want to see how many. Is it seven? Is
you know
it
what?
17?
You know what the Twitter poll is going to be?
Is it 700?
Here it is. We're doing a Twitter poll. Kiss or Skynyrd? Just straight up. Who's your favorite?
That's not really fair.
That's fair.
Because we're talking about the Southern.
We're talking about a band that's been dead for 30 years.
Well, I feel like the young guys should get an artist of choice in there,
Black
too.
Bear?
I don't know who we could
put Black
pick,
Bear
but.
In there? I'm not going down this road. My daughter wrote me into the Black Bear concert.
What does that mean? What is Black Bear? Taylor said he was a bear, but what does that mean?
Black Bear is like this young, like hip hop artist.
Travis Scott?
He's like in the same vein, but different.
Must be newer. I haven't heard of him yet.
Yeah, he's at Janice Lanning.
Mark Cook is our local Travis Scott concert aficionado.
Told you I was tricked. My son said we were going to the Randy Travis concert.
It's
ended up at Travis Scott. Still don't know what happened in that show. I have no idea what went on.
Well,
but it would still be more entertaining than a Kiss concert.
We will have a Pewter Nation podcast next week. I'll wrap up the Kiss concert and provide details about that.
Can't wait. Lord, take me this week.
We'll have Jason Light. We'll probably do it Tuesday. So we'll have Jason Light on Tuesday. And then we'll have more draft previews. Then, my birthday, April 23rd. What do I get from the Buccaneers?
Woo-woo.
To cover minicamp.
Oh,
Bucks
good.
Are having their pre-draft minicamp on
One
the 23rd.
One year you had it on the draft was your birthday.
Yeah, I got Cadillac Williams for my birthday, which I didn't want.
Happy birthday, Scotty.
Great.
Here's an Auburn Tiger.
Excellent.
Here's the third
like
best running back at number four.
Yeah, I like Peyton Barber, but Cadillac. I mean, Cadillac, he had a good career. Nothing against Cadillac personally. I know him now, but at the time I was not happy about the Buccaneers using the number five overall pick and the third running back taken that year.
When he hurt his knee against Carolina, you texted me. Actually, you didn't text me. You paged me because it was during beepers, and I called you back.
Oh, my gosh.
And you're like, I told you they shouldn't have taken him. I told you. I knew it.
I didn't know such thing.
That's true story.
That's funny.
All right. Anyway, for Mr. Matthew Matera, Taylor Jenkins, and Scott Reynolds, and our special guest, Mr. Peyton Barber, we thank you for listening to this edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast. We'll be back next Tuesday with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
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 Out. Out.